One slow, sultry day in August, my 16-year-old sister Annette offered to take the children on a picnic to a place we called Indian Bathtubs. It was about 5 miles from town where big rocks with holes in them caught the rainwater. It was peaceful and safe, the perfect place for a picnic with a lot of little children. My cousin Bonnie brought 6 of her siblings, and Annette brought 9 of hers. All 15 children were loaded in the back of my father's pickup truck and left for the day. The kids loved riding in the truck, even though the hot, dusty wind that blew across the desert plateau we lived on kicked up sand that stung their eyes and made a mess of their hair. Annette was driving, and Bonnie kept her eye on the children through the open window that faced the back of the truck. Suddenly, the truck came over a crest on the road and hit a bump. Even though it wasn't going too fast, the truck flipped when it hit an embankment of sand and landed with an enormous thud on top of several children. The children trapped under the truck were panicked, and those who had been thrown from it were screaming in terror. The truck was smoking. Annette told me later she knew it was going to explode. She and Bonnie ran to the truck and lifted it so the other children could pull their siblings out. Some of the children were injured themselves, but nevertheless tried to do what they could to extricate their siblings from the wreckage. Annette thought she had everyone out from under the truck when she saw Nurulan's lifeless body. Nurulan was my 2-year-old sister and my mother's namesake. We looked like identical twins, even though we were 16 years apart. Annette grabbed Nurulan and took her to the side of the road, away from the truck, and frantically began doing CPR, trying to breathe oxygen and life back into her body. She heard a gurgling in her lungs and thought it might be a sign of life, so she breathed even harder into the limp child. The truck exploded. The heat from the blast radiated back toward the injured. The 14 children watched as flames consumed the truck and as Annette kept up her desperate efforts to save Nurulan. She finally quit when she realized she was having no impact. Nurulan's limp body held no signs of life. I was in one of my last classes when I saw that my cousin Valerie was standing outside the classroom. I couldn't imagine why she'd come. She just looked at me and said, "Carolyn, there has been an accident and your little sister Nurulan was killed." She told me a few details of the accident and that all the children were safe except for Nurulan. God was definitely there protecting them. It was a miracle that Nurulan was the only one killed. Everyone else will make a full recovery. The death of my beloved sister didn't feel like a miracle to me. It was fortunate that the other children survived, but I was blindsided by the news that Nurulan was gone. She and I were far apart in years, but indescribably close. Everyone said that she was a carbon copy of me. I found her death incomprehensible. No one close to me had ever died before. Nothing seemed crueler than the loss of a child. I went back to my apartment and packed a few things for the ride home. Someone volunteered to call my professors and explain that I would need to reschedule my exams. When I walked into Merrill's house, no one said anything to me, even though everyone knew about the accident. I felt so alone. I didn't belong in this family, and this family didn't belong in my life. My loss seemed to widen and deepen the gulf between us. I just wanted to go to my father's house. I needed to feel his strength and his protection. When I walked into the house, my brothers and sisters came to greet me. Some had casts on their arms, others on their legs, and all had bruises in various shades of black and blue. That night, a family arrived from the other side of the religious divide with loaves of freshly baked bread. I invited them in, and they hugged my mother and offered us all words of consolation. The communal pain we all shared transcended our religious differences. The outpouring of sympathy ran like a strong river. The next day, our yard was filled with families raking, hoeing, and cleaning every corner of the yard. The kitchen counters were laden with food. People brought soup, roast beef for sandwiches, and rolls for the freezer. It was touching to see how much people cared and how generous they were in reaching out to my family. I returned home that night to Merrill's house. He never said a word to me about my sister's death. Never. I had been raised to believe that the death of a family member was actually a blessing because it gave our family a representative on the other side who would try to protect us. That, at least, was the theory. But it gave me no consolation. I wanted my baby sister back. not some special advocate in heaven.